you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio. Hello and happy Friday. I'm Holly Fry.
And I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
We talked about Charles McIntosh and the first mass-produced rainwear.
Yeah.
So the reason we did this episode... Can you guess? I'll ask you if you want to guess.
I don't think I can guess.
You probably could if you really thought for a minute.
If I put effort into guessing, I probably
could. Yeah, it's
could.
Bob's Burgers. It's always
okay,
Bob's
yeah.
Burgers.
Yeah.
So there's an episode of Bob's Burgers where Linda is trying to explain to Bob and the kids this long-running family feud that's been going on her side of the family. And one of the very minor details in it is that she thinks that one of the people from... the wrong side of the family married into the family that invented raincoats. And Bob is like, I don't think that's right. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is right? Who did invent raincoats? And that's how that happened. I almost want to do a future episode on Thomas Hancock because he's persnickety in a way that I find entertaining.
Okay.
For one thing, he called his masticator in his like casual writing about it. A pickle. He called it the pickle.
Okay.
Because it was like a long tube and it had little bumps on it, it did kind of look like a pickle.
Okay.
And so any of his writing, like to friends about it, are like, oh, I was working on the pickle today. And it just cracks me up. But he was also, I mean, we mentioned that he was involved in that legal battle about protecting their patents. And he was relentless. So You mentioned when we were recording that you had seen advertisements that are like the Goodyear raincoat. Mm-hmm. And when Goodyear started producing rainwear, Hancock took out ads in a lot of places in Europe and North America that was basically like, you may be seeing advertisements for a new raincoat offered by the Goodyear company. Please know that because of my collaboration with Charles McIntosh, ours is the only real raincoat. Like, he was very adamant about it.
That's hilarious.
And kind of, you know, took an attack approach.
Yeah.
Which cracked me up. I also really enjoyed the problem with tailors not trusting Charles McIntosh.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the write-ups about that, also by Thomas Hancock, are quite funny. But I can understand, right? As someone who stitches a whole lot. I mean, this happens to anybody who kind of knows what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then a random person is like, you know what you should do? Which, can I tell you, that's one of my most hated phrases. You know you should do.
Yeah.
My response is always, when you make yours, that's how you should do it. Well, but I'm going to do what I do.
Overwhelmingly, the person telling me, you know what you should do, like, doesn't actually have the context to know what
exactly.
I should do.
That's why I always say, oh, you should make yours that way. And I try to do it with a really peppy, upbeat voice. So it sounds like I'm being supportive, but really I'm being kind of a witch. Yeah, so I can understand where garment manufacturers were like, that's nice, dude. We know how to make clothes.
Yeah.
But in that case, they really didn't know how to work with that specific material.
That whole part of it kind of blew my mind a little bit, because to me, it's just so obvious that if you're running a needle through this thing, it's going to make a bunch of tiny holes that are going to leak, which is why... technology has evolved in more recent years, but like I remember when I was a kid, like there's just so many steps you would have to take to like wax the seams in these horrible tents at the old, you know, Girl Scout campground, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing: I can imagine knowing that you're making those stitch holes, but oh, they're so tiny, it's probably not going to matter. The rubber is going to close up around them a little bit.
Mm.
I could see you thinking that, not you specifically, but I could see a person thinking that. But it just didn't work in practice, obviously. So like at the Macintosh company now, I think one of the things they do, and I think what's been done for a long time, is after they stitch a seam, like some seams are welded, I'm air quoting, but you know, it's not welding like what you might be thinking of with heat, but like you can weld glue things together. They will go over a seam like and apply a layer of rubber to it, just like you were talking about with the waxing of tent seams and stuff. So there are different ways that you can manage that. But I can completely understand both sides of that particular equation, where it's like, yes, he does know this will mess it up. Yes, they also absolutely know how to make a garment.
Right.
it worked out. I'm curious if you have had the same experience I have, in that the garment that I was told was a Macintosh for a million years, and I don't know where I got this, but like a lot of people I knew called it this, were like those flannel shirts that are then like quilted on the inside like a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always heard those called Macintoshes, but they're not rainwear, and they're cozy as heck, but they're not appropriate. And I don't know where those picked up that name.
So I don't think that it is a term that has just really been in my vocabulary a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like I saw like the garment you just described as a Macintosh, like in a video game or something. Like
maybe that's where I got it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I just I don't feel like I grew up calling any garment colloquially a Macintosh. I do, however, remember growing up with like totally not breathable in any way raincoats.
Oh, I have so many feelings about raincoats.
And like growing up in the South, where often when it was raining, it was also warm, and just becoming like a little sauna inside the raincoat.
Yes, still. I would say it's not as common a term here. In the UK, I don't think you can exist without having heard the term Macintosh referred to a jacket all the time. I have strong feelings about raincoats, which is that I would rather just get wet for the same reasons you just mentioned. I have one raincoat that I have had since college.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it at, here is a blast from the past, Lowman's department store.
Okay.
And I bought it because it's adorable and it's plastic, but it is leopard print and it has cute little corduroy cuff and collar, like a black corduroy cuff and collar. And I love it, but like it has to be a desperate moment when I will pull that one out of the closet, because it's, I hate that feeling of not being able to like have air pass through.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, great, I'll just get wet. That's fine. I also don't carry an umbrella very often for the very same reasons. Too cumbersome.
I remember the first time I bought a waterproof yet breathable jacket. And it was in advance of a trip to the Pacific Northwest. And because often that kind of outerwear is expensive, like I found like the most discounted, super, super on sale that I actually really liked, and I wore it forever. And like now, just because I am a little bigger than I was when I bought it. I could no longer zip it up. And I only just recently replaced it. Similarly, shopping around a whole lot for something that was going to be waterproof, but also breathable and also not hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah. I struggle with rainwear.
Yeah.
This is why I hate cold weather also. Like, I don't like wearing that many layers.
Yeah.
Unless they are fancy and cool.
What you got to do is move to a place that's a lot colder and be amazed as your body recalibrates itself.
No, it's not. It's not a temperature thing. I feel like my movement is restricted too much and I get real panicky.
Oh, okay. I get that.
I'm like, yeah. I don't have the same range of motion. What if ninjas come? Like, it's not going to happen. It's the same reason I don't like massage. Uh-huh. Because it relaxes me too much and I feel not on alert in case danger takes place. And it's the same reason I don't like prescription pain medications, like when I've had like oral surgery or something. I'm like, no, I'm too relaxed. I can't handle the world if an emergency takes place. And I will look very placid on the outside and inside. I am a full-blown panic attack happening.
Yeah.
I don't want to be restricted in any way, mentally or physically.
Right.
I don't know why I'm perpetually like ready for danger, but there you go.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about Horace Fletcher on the show this week.
We sure did. I do have a question for you before you get into your actual show stuff.
Okay.
Because you have referenced on the show a couple times the movie The Road to Wellville.
Uh-huh.
Have you read that book?
I have not read the book, but I do know that it is also a book.
So I love T.C. Boyle. I love his writing. Like a million years ago, I think when I was maybe in high school, he was on NPR talking about his short story book, If the River Was Whiskey, and I have been a fan ever since. So just for anyone that hasn't read it and knows about the movie and maybe not the book, highly recommend lots of his work. Very interesting writer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in general, having worked as a massage therapist before, like I never worked at, as a massage therapist at a place that was as health devoted as the San reportedly was. But I did work for a time at a spa where people would come and stay and all of their meals were provided and they were supposed to be like very nutritionally selected by the chef. And I remember there was a guy that did a lot of like the maintenance and grounds kind of work who was also people's like covert hookup for getting hamburgers from town.
I love it.
And there was a secret soft drink machine sort of hidden away. So that movie reminds me sometimes of some of the things that I experienced as a massage therapist, which is a time that I loved a lot of aspects of, but also occasionally I would hear people say things that made me go, that is not how it works, though. Like Horace Fletcher, there's not a physiological gate in your mouth that is forcing you to keep chewing your food until it's out of nutrients. Like that's just, this is not how it works. I did not read every word of all of his books because there are sure a lot of them, but there were things in them that just struck me as so delightful. And I really, as soon as I read the sentence, "Let us work together for a season in the now field," I was like, I've never heard anybody say that before, but it so sounds like something I would have heard someone say at like a self-help workshop kind of thing, or like some kind of relaxation seminar. And I think I went, "What?" out loud, and then read it again. It was like, I love this sentence.
Don't be a sewer.
Don't be a sewer. I also liked a lot. And that the book that came from was just this weird mix of sometimes very long discursive, like, could you get to the point of what you're talking about? And then these tiny little gems, like, don't be a sewer. And it was like, I would like this all a lot better if it was more like, don't be a sewer, and less like, here is this incredibly long wandering paragraph.
Yeah.
About something that doesn't really fully make sense to me. Also, one of our past episodes is on Edward Gorey. And I went to the Edward Gorey house on Cape Cod when I was doing the research for that. And there was a little sign hung up on one of the doors that I am pretty sure said, "No Henry James at the Edward Gorey house." And so as I read this part that was about Henry James being just so into Fletcherism for a while, I was like, I wonder if that's why.
You know, it's so weird. Fletcherism became so big, and I understand why, right? Obviously, like, this person was touting the many benefits. And when you read, like, his rules in that later book, I get it, because it has seeds in, like, a very similar thing to what's going on now with like intuitive eating and like getting off of the diet roller coaster that many people find themselves on and actually like listening to your body and what it wants and needs. And I see why people are like, yes, of course, this is how we should do it. And then they go, wait, I would like just like a cupcake once in a while would be great.
Yeah. Well, and he was fine with cupcakes. Like there's also a movement now to like not assign labels like junk food and bad right. for you and things like that to food. And he was pretty in line with that. Like, he really thought you can eat whatever your appetite is calling for. You just got to chew it. Sometimes he would eat chocolate candy for breakfast, but it was like three little pieces of it because it took him an hour.
See, that's the other thing.
To chew all of it. We didn't really touch on it in the episode, but like one of the things that really... people who were not into this, one of the things that they found really upsetting about it is that for a lot of us, meals are a social activity and we go to dinner together to have a connection with other people. And if you were having dinner with somebody who was a Fletcherite, there was not going to be any conversation because they were just going to be slowly chewing the whole time.
Well, that's kind of right. That little bit that we did include about the 400 of New York just yeah. kind of being... not a very fun crew anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. something that I said in the kind of off mic moment was that, like, as the food faddists go, he does seem to have been like one of the less dangerous. Like, he wasn't advocating things that could really, really hurt anybody in most circumstances, right? I feel like there are zero nutritional things that are universally applicable to everybody.
Right.
But like, if you were going to try to chew your food that much and it was not going to work out for you, I think that was going to be pretty clear pretty quickly. And if you were going to chew your food that much, it might have contributed to some, like, maybe some jaw issues or some dental right. issues, but probably not going to harm your health long term in the way that some of the people that were like, no, you literally just need to starve yourself, which was right. also a thing.
Well, and the thing was, he never really, to the best of my knowledge, advocated, like, you have to eat X number of food or X amount less than you were before. His was like, you will naturally eat less if you do this right. and you'll find you want right. less. Rather than it being a limiting thing, it was, again, one of those, like, that will just happen. Don't worry about it.
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of people that write about him today have a big focus on the weight loss aspect of it, because he did describe himself as losing a bunch of weight. But most of his own writing, like, that's a tiny bit of what he was talking a lot more about, having more energy and not getting sick as often and having all this stamina that he reportedly had. Like, some of the things he was doing as publicity stunts about how healthy he kind of was sound almost like kind of the stunts that we've talked about with various strong woman type characters, not actual people that we've talked about on the show before. He's like, I'm going to ride a bike 200 miles. And then apparently did, claiming that he had no soreness the next day. And I don't know if that was actually the case, if he really did having no real training as a cyclist, ride a bike 200 miles with no soreness the next day. I don't have a great explanation for that.
See, I think he was so good at mind over matter that he probably blocked out the discomfort and pain that even a pretty seasoned cyclist would experience.
Yeah.
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 That's just my guess, though.
I'm glad that I finally got around to him on the list, because he's really been on my list for a super long time. And I don't know, as frustrating as some of his writing was in terms of how it was written, I always love reading the people who very confidently say something that's wrong. And I'm sure in 100 years, somebody's going to listen to our podcast and listen to me very confidently say something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, I love doing this. I love it when people from the past say such doofy things.
It happens. It happens. We all do, because we're operating with the knowledge that we have at hand.
Sure.
And that knowledge is going to change and sometimes not be accurate any longer once we discover new things.
Yeah.
It's just, that's what being human is.
Yeah. I do wish that we knew more detail about earlier life. And I actually think a dedicated researcher could probably trace a lot more stuff. Because when I was trying to just verify stuff like his middle name, my search results list had so many immigration records from times that he applied for a passport or re-entered the United States or whatever. Right. And so I think, as is often the case, like a very dedicated researcher, I think, could write a very fascinating biography of him that would involve a whole lot of crawling through old records. And maybe somebody has that autobiography he was working on in their attic somewhere. The only reference to a papers collection I found for him was actually at Harvard, and it was just like a box of some correspondence. And so who knows? But anyway, I would read that, though, if somebody did write that biography.
The universe has heard your call. We'll see what happens.
I'm manifesting a biography of Horace Letcher.
There you go.
If you would like to send us a note, we're historypodcast@iheartradio.com. Since it's Friday, happy Friday. Whatever's coming over the weekend for you, whether it's work or play or some combination of the two, I hope it goes as well as possible. We'll be back with a classic episode tomorrow and something brand new on Monday. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox